Y'all give Scott and Bobby Ray a big hand.
Yeah, we were kin through marriage, you know. My wife, you hit my mute button when you guys say. My wife, on her mother's side, there's cousins that would say, came up to me. Several of her distant cousins came up to me at different times and said, "I think we're related." I said, "Well, you're related to my wife." And they act like they're disappointed. And I told my wife, Kathy, I said, "You know, I don't think your folks won't be related to you." So, anyway, I had to have fun. But Merry Christmas, everybody. Joy, joy. Yes, it is. Thank you. I'm running my mouth. I don't know what keeps on me. You ready?
Yeah.
A few Christmas songs this morning, and I hope some of them will minister to you. And we celebrate the wonderful gift that God gave us, His Son. And we all, you know, ooh and all over babies. And it was a joyous thing as a baby that the wise men and different ones knew or had an idea who He was. But as He grew up and He became our Savior and died on the cross, that's the great story, isn't it? It's not just that He was a baby, but he lived and died on the cross and took our place. And He leads the way through His light, doesn't He? A beautiful star.
Thank you.
going to try the Old Holy Night. See if I can sing this song this morning. I'm going to share a word. I'll drink some water.
I drink some water. I love this time of year, and I see a lot of people here. I see a lot of faces I hadn't seen in a while. I think I missed the last time we were down here. My mother-in-law had some heart surgery, but she's doing really good right now. She had a fall the other day, but she didn't break anything, thank goodness, but she's doing much better with her heart valve replacement, so thank God for that. But Bobby and I have been busy. We had a Wednesday night, a Friday night, and we got today, Tuesday night, Cowboy Church, and then next Sunday in Ramsworth. Thanks. It's been a fun-filled month for us. It really has. God bless all the churches that invited us. We've really had a good time this month celebrating the season.
We'll try to read We Three Kings. Okay? Yeah, we're going to try this old song, We Three Kings, and just some Christmas songs. And then we got a couple more here. See if I can get my tempo and my hands working, all that. Of Orient heart, bearing gifts we traversed afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding. Kids, we like to sing them Christmas songs.
You hear jingle bells, you know that my tie went off. It's one of these ties that you get at the family get-togethers, you know. And I didn't realize it till I put it on this morning. I hit the front of it, and it started playing jingle bells. So I'm trying not to hit it with my guitar today.
I heard it a while ago, didn't I?
It went off.
We were singing a while ago. I kept thinking I'm hearing something, so I didn't realize it was your tie.
You don't want to break your aunt's heart when she gives you something like that. You take it with a smile, so, you know.
I did hear it. Yeah. Well, this is a song that's been out several years now. It's become a standard, and I'm going to see if I can sing it this morning. Mary, did you?
Okay. Know?
Save your sons and daughters.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when over our allotted time this morning. I'm going to sing one more for you, Wes, and I'll buy you a burger for running over. But this song here is in E. Make room. Okay. And this is a great song, new for us. And oh, he's got to find the words. They're going on. Family hiding from the storm found a place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save the world so cold and hollow. The sleeping town they did not know, and lying in a manger low, a savior. Has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? straight and burdens light, for in his hands he holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart.
Amen. Thank y'all so much. Don't worry about running over.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we've changed our services up a little bit. You know, a lot of people do the announcements at the end of service, and that way you can say, I got the service finished on time, but I had to make announcements. I like to make the announcements in the beginning and get done with them, so when we get done with church, we can leave worshiping. Amen. That's the way, thank God, wants us to do it. And today we're going to be looking at Luke, and Bobby Ray had told me he'd been practicing that song, and I was glad that they were singing it this morning. And that's how the Holy Spirit works, because I'd already kind of figured where we was going to be at this morning with this text, and then Bobby Ray and Scott sung that song. But that's the question that you can ask yourself this morning from their song, is it room in your heart for God to write his story? That's what we see when we come to Luke's gospel. As we looked last week at John the Baptist's birth being foretold, today we're going to look at Jesus' birth being foretold. And what I want you to see here is that God is still writing his story of salvation. He's been writing that story of salvation since the beginning of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God. Guess what? God created everything, and because he created everything, he's supposed to be the righteous ruling king of everything. Amen? And it was going good till he made people. Boy, we can mess up some stuff, you know. And because of rebellion, they was cast out of God's presence. They couldn't come into God's presence. Why? Because to come into God's presence, if he is God, if he's king, if he's ruler of all, you would bring something into God's presence. And you know what that gift is? Righteousness. Right standing before God. Once we sinned against God, we're no longer righteous. We can't have that righteousness, that gift that we'd present to our king. And so God knew we had a problem. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says, look, I'm going to fix the problem. He says, from the seed of woman, the mother of all humanity, he's talking about Eve, will come a descendant, and he will be struck on the heel by the serpent, the one that lied to Adam and Eve, and asked them, did God really say? Do you think you really got to live God's way? He will strike my new king, my ruling king, my righteous king on the heel. But the one I send, the Messiah, my anointed one, he will crush the serpent's head underfoot. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. You can say he took a big stick, the cross, and beat Satan back in his place. Amen? So when you come to this, he's writing his story of salvation. So as we go through the Old Testament, we see this over and over. Everybody, you know, you kind of think, this is going to be him. This is going to be him. But guess what? No matter how good they are, even Solomon, the wisest man in the world, before his life was over, had made a lot of mistakes. So the people that understood the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. So God was writing out his salvation story. Now, Luke tells us that he's writing from a historical viewpoint. He has interviewed witnesses. He is writing this down. He's putting his stamp on history here. He's also doing it theologically and logically, both. He's telling us theological themes, but he's giving us a logical progression of the story. When we come to the end of Luke, he tells us that the story's continuing on today. So it didn't stop at Christmas, right? At Christmas, the Messiah come. At the end of the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, and he's pointing to you and I today, that guess what? We're going to be written into God's story also. He says that everyone must know that the Son of Man come to die, be buried, be raised, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed to all the earth. Guess what? This morning, God is giving you an invitation. He's inviting us to join in his salvation story. He's completing his story, and he's writing us into his story. Now, this is what I want you to see this morning as we look at this in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke. It says, now in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, from heaven, to a city, a particular place, in Galilee, in a particular region. The place had a name. It was Nazareth. He was sent to an ordinary young teenager, to a virgin engaged to an ordinary man whose name was Joseph. But here's something about Joseph. He was a descendant of David, whom God had written in his story and made a covenant with, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just come before you this morning and thank you that through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, through equipping us with your word and empowering us with your spirit, that we can understand salvation history. Your story is being written out right before us. That, Lord, we also thank you that you invite us into your story. This morning, I pray, as the song was just sung, that we'd make room in our heart for you to write your story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this morning and think about the Christmas story and that God is inviting us to live in his story of salvation, the question is, how do we accept God's invitation? Now, most of the time on a sermon, I've heard you want to get it hot, you want to warm it up, you get it hotter, and then you want to catch on fire. So you hold the best to last, okay? But I'm going to go ahead and give it to y'all up front. You know, I know y'all always probably look to the back of the book and see how it ends. Amen? Here's how you accept God's invitation to be in his story. It's by faith. Say faith. Faith. And I'm going to go ahead and give you this, because I'm going to tell you again at the end of this sermon so you remember it. Faith is believing that God's plan for your life is better than your plan for your life. So when God writes you into his story, guess what? You got to let go some of your story. Some of the things that you had planned. Here's what happens. Ordinary people are chosen or called to do extraordinary things. This right here says the angel Gabriel was sent from God. God's got a message. He sends Gabriel to a particular place at a particular time in history, and he sends it to a young virgin named Mary. And it says, coming in, he said to her in verse 28, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. So greetings is the way we say hello, or how y'all doing, or what you been up to, or how's it going. We say all these things like this. This was a familiar greeting. The word is rejoice. A lot of times you try to play this rejoice up. Rejoice does come in the text here in a few verses. But right here, when this idea of rejoice, it's just the idea of the way we say hello. How y'all doing? And so he says this, but here's the part of the salutation that makes her want to think about it and see what's going on here. He says, favored one, or one who has received unmerited grace from somebody else, is speaking of God's kindness, his kindness being given to us. And then he says, the Lord is with you. Emmanuel, we know from Matthew. So think about this. If God comes and he's speaking to you, it is by his grace that he's inviting you to join his story. And the whole thing is, God wants you to be with him. Now, a lot of times what we want to do is make our own plans, right? And then ask God to bless them. Y'all guilty of that or just me? Lord, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Oh, I better pray. Lord, I've already started this. I've already got all this invested. Now help me get this fixed. I messed it up, right? Best thing to do is always be looking for God and know that his plans might not align with your plans, but by faith you can believe that his plan is better than your plan. So how do we accept or make room in our heart for God to write his story? First of all, you got to live under Jesus' rule. That's what God is doing when he sends his Messiah. He's restoring rule to his kingdom, to his creation. God created everything, whether people admit it or not, it belongs to God. It is his, and it's his to do with what he wants to. He is the only king, and when he sends Jesus to restore his king, Jesus says to repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what that means? It's present. I'm here. I'm restoring my kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king. You can't have a king without a kingdom. So when God invites us into his story, he's inviting us to repent, believe that Jesus died for our sins, and be initiated in or inaugurated into the kingdom of God. We are made children of God. We are brought back into relationship with God so Jesus can be our king. He's got to have rule over his life. So this is what the angel tells her. It says she was very perplexed about this statement and kept pondering it. That means to think with reasoning. She's trying to work out these details. Now, what kind of salutation was this that he just gave me? And what kind of phrase or this greeting? I don't understand. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid. I said this last week. Gabriel probably got tired of saying don't be afraid. Amen? When a word of God shows up, it strikes fear in us. Why? Because God usually asks us to do something that we're not qualified to do. God's fixing to ask you to do something beyond your limits. God's fixing to ask us to participate in something that only he can help us complete. He says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. Here's this, you found kindness. God is kind to you. He is gracious to you. If we're here today, if you're here, raise your hand. Guess what? Y'all are gracious. God is showing you kindness. I can remember, it makes me sad to even think about, I can remember used to riding by a church and wondering what the people's doing in there and knowing I ought to be in church on Sunday morning and be going to the lake or going here or going there and just ride by and say, well, maybe mama don't see me when I ride by the church. You know what I mean? But when I got saved, truly saved, instead of trying just to make everybody happy and show up at church now and then I wanted to go to church. How many of y'all wanted to go to church this morning? Thank God. Say, thank you, God. If God wasn't gracious to us, guess what? We'd still be doing what we want to. Sometimes I think after we saved a while, we think that, hey, God has blessed me because I'm doing right. Guess what? If the Holy Spirit weren't working in you, you still wouldn't be doing right. It's a gift of God. So he says, look, here, favored one. This young lady's probably about somewhere between 12 and 15 years old. He says, and behold, he gives her a promise. It's an assertion here when he says this. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a child, and you shall name him Jesus. He tells her three things. Here's an assertion. Here's a promise from God. This is going to take place. You're going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. Matthew implies that this means from Joshua, he saves his people from sin. You're going to name him Savior, Messiah. And then he tells us five things about this son. He says that he will be great. That means he'll be great. That's what that word means. He's going to be greater than any other sons to ever come to this earth. Mamas, how would y'all like to know that your kid's going to be the greatest one that ever come? That's the promise he's given Mary. He will be great. It means that he'll be better than any human that ever walked. And then it tells us why he'll be great. It's because he'll be called the Son of the Most High. In the Old Testament, the Most High speaks to God, the God, creator of heaven and earth, the God of heaven. He'll be great because he is the Son of God and the Lord God. Third here, will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. As God was writing his story, he told David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, when your days are complete, you will lie down with your fathers. I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne for that kingdom forever and ever. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne will be established forever. Now, you know, when you're reading through the story, God's story, you think when Solomon come, he's the wisest man on the earth, and he builds the temple for God's name, and you think Solomon's going to be it. But God is talking about, guess what? Another descendant who is Jesus Christ, who will build a house for God's name. He's talking about God dwelling in his people, in our hearts. He's talking about God being our God and we being God's people. That's what he's speaking of here. So when he tells her that he will establish the throne of his father David, she understands, because she's steeped in the Old Testament, that he is speaking about the Messiah coming. And then Mary said to her, how can this be, since I'm a virgin, or since I've not known a man intimately, is what she's saying here. Now, if you remember, Zacharias asked a question, and they sound kind of the same, but here's what Zacharias said, you know, how you going to prove it to me? He says, what you going to show me? How do I know this? Now, before I commit to this, I need some reassurances. Here, what Mary says is, I'm young, I might not know everything, but I do know this. I'm engaged, I'm going to be married, we're planning to have kids. Joseph is back fixing up our room, adding on to his daddy's house. He's going to come back and get me. We're going to get married. We have got a plan. But what I don't understand is, how am I going to be pregnant when I've not been with a man? How is this humanly possible? Have you ever asked God that? How is this humanly possible? Here's what Gabriel says. It's not. God wouldn't call you to do something you could do by yourself. God calls us to do something that he's got to help us finish. You know, people ask me all the time, well, how do you do this and how do you do that and how do you have that much time? I always say God. And they think I say that because I'm a pastor. I say that because I'm one of them guys that like to make out lists and check everything off. And my list don't ever get, I run out of days before my list gets done, but God takes care of it. Does that make sense? God accomplishes his purposes. And so the angel tells her that we've got to live not only under the rule of Jesus, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I want to obey Jesus. Well, that's good, but you can't unless you repent, believe that Jesus died for your sins, and then you are regenerated and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit empowers you to live under Jesus' rule, God's way. Every time you do something and it makes you real proud and you think I've done good, you ought to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be engaging in God's word and obeying God's word. But here, he's talking about something that's very important. We see two things here. We see the incarnation, and also we see the Trinity, mysteries that is throughout the Bible that we'll better understand one day when we get to heaven. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. So what he's saying here is that the Holy Spirit is going to work a miracle. God is the actor here. Mary is passive. Mary is the recipient. But this is not like some of the Muslim beliefs and some of the other beliefs. God did not impregnate Mary. What happened here is that the Holy Spirit, when it's overshadowing Mary is speaking back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the Holy Spirit is hovering over the chaos and God creates through the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Now let me explain this a little bit. This is very important for us to understand. In Hebrews chapter 10, quoting out of the Old Testament, it says that there were sacrifices that was reminded years after years. After year, it says, "For it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes, he says," it's talking about Jesus. Jesus quotes the Old Testament right here. "Sacrifice and offering you've not desired, but a body you prepared for me in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. You have not taken pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God." Here's what this means. God made a body for Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Jesus Christ was eternally generated. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. There's never been a time when Jesus Christ did not exist. There's never been a time when the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, didn't exist. Always, God has existed. Isaiah chapter 59 says, "God looked down and was displeased that there was none righteous, that there was none who done right." Jesus, being fully God, God made a body for him in the womb of Mary. Because Mary was human, Jesus was born as a man. Because there was no human father, he was fully God. That means he's fully God, full of all righteousness. Now remember what I said? There was none righteous. There was none to bring righteousness before God. Because Christ is fully God, he is righteous. The sacrifices, he says, guess what? You can kill all the bulls and goats you want to. You got to kill another one tomorrow when y'all mess up. Because you don't have anything righteous that you can bring before God, so God will accept you. But Jesus says, "You created a body for me. I can give what every human being owes you. I can give my life. I can die for sin. But I can also give something they can't. I can present my righteousness." When Jesus went to the cross, that was a righteous sacrifice. No blemish, no spot. The Lamb that took away the sins of the world. When he died and was buried, when God raised him 3 days later, it says, guess what? He was innocent. Just as the thief on the cross said, this man among us is the only one that's innocent. Because he was innocent and he presented his righteousness, it can be applied to everyone. Say me. If we repent and believe in Jesus. This is the gift. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit enlightens us. So as we look at this and we think about God writing us into his story, we want to ask, how do I accept that invitation? And we accept it by faith. The angel goes on to give her illustration. He says, "Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her 6th month. He says, nothing or not a word, no word. That's what this really says here. No word will be impossible or no thing will be impossible with God. God accomplishes the impossible. What's humanly impossible, God accomplishes in us. Now here's Mary's answer. Mary says, "Behold, the bondservant of your Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I want you to see that God calls ordinary people for extraordinary tasks. When he calls us and invites us to join his story, he is writing us into his story of salvation. We have to make ourselves available to God by faith. Faith simply says, "God, I believe your plan is better than my plan. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Lord, ever what happens. Now think about Mary for a moment here. She teaches us something here about faith. She believes God's plan is better than her plan. So here, think about this. Now, I don't know. Now, this is in my mind, not Mary's, because I don't know what Mary's thinking. The Bible don't tell us what she's thinking. But I was thinking about this. Now, 15-year-old, I remember when I was 15, right? And you got the world figured out, right? You know more than your parents. You know more than everybody. So Mary says, all right, God, let me weigh your plan against our plan. She says, let me see what me and Joseph, we plan to have 3.5 kids, a white picket fence, a dog, a 3-car garage, a 401k, and we want to serve in church on Sundays. The rest of the time, we got other things we need to do. Now, Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to give up my engagement, which is the same thing as being divorced. I'll probably never get to remarry. I'll have no kids. My friends will shame me. My family will shun me. And is that about it, God? Oh, yeah, and I'll be destitute because I won't be able to have a job. Okay, is that all? So my part of this plan is to believe that nothing is impossible with you. All right, Lord, let's go with your plan. Now, has God ever asked you to do something and you think, uh-uh, Lord, I'm going to have to give up everything? You'll never give up nothing for God that he don't replace with something better. See, when we accept God's invitation by faith, what we have to do is praise God's greatness before he completes his plan. We don't have time to go all the way into that, but Mary sings a famous song here in just a little bit about how great God is. It says, I exalt, my soul exalts the Lord. In other words, my soul praises the greatness of God is what she says. And she goes down the whole list of things he's doing in her life. But for application this morning, I want you to think about this. If God is calling you into his story, if God is writing you into his story, think about Mary. God never calls the people that's prepared. He prepares the people he calls. Dr. Logan Carson used to tell me all the time, don't you worry about it. Don't worry about what God wants you to do. Those he calls, he prepares, and those he prepares, he sends. Here, Mary wasn't prepared for this. But God called her. She said, Lord, may every word that you say, I'm your servant. Do you know what it means to be a servant of God? Simply be available to do what God asked you to do. It is that simple. She says, may every word you say happen to me. So what do we do when we're waiting for God to work out the details of his plan that we've agreed to? We need to go look up other believers. He tells her, he gives her a hint here. He says, even your cousin Elizabeth, you know, she's old. She won't have no children. Now she's pregnant. Now Mary, you young, you haven't ever had relations, and you're pregnant. So what should Mary do? Go see Elizabeth. That's what she does. It tells us here in the text that she goes straight away to see Elizabeth. And we don't have time to go through them, but if you would follow back through the Bible at all the people that did great things in the Bible, they was always following God when something would happen to them. If you follow Hannah, Sarah, Ruth and Naomi, any of them through the Bible, they always say they're going to do things God's way no matter what happens to them. Over and over in the Bible. And here, Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and it says in verse 40, that when she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting and the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out in a loud voice, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it that it's happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is he who believes that there would be a fulfillment in what has been spoken to her by the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul says that no one can call Jesus Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit when we regenerated. So if we live under God's rule, we also got to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. we can accept God's plan for our life, His plan for us, and His plan of salvation by faith, but then we need to get engaged with other believers. You know what you need to do? You need to find you an Elizabeth, an older person in the faith. They don't have to be older physically sometimes, but they've been saved longer. They've been walking with the Lord longer. You go talk to them and let them instruct you in the Bible. Let them give you examples in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says these things have been written for us as examples. We can go back through. Mary and Elizabeth, I imagine, went back through all the women in the Bible that had followed God when the plan just seemed like it was impossible. But also, you need to find a believer that is younger in the faith than you, and you need to pour your life into that believer. Elizabeth is ministering to Mary. Does that make sense? You know, we live in a world now that we're so separated and we're getting farther and farther apart, except for living in a cyber world, that sometimes we just need to get together and talk about God. And you say, well, what do we need to talk about? How about this? Next time you with your believers, why don't you just be like Mary and just say, my soul exalts the Lord. My soul just praises the greatness of God. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regard for His humble state of His bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. She's saying God uses ordinary people for extraordinary things. It's not what I can do, it's what God can do if I'll just surrender to His story. She goes on to say, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is His name. When's the last time when y'all got ready for Christmas and somebody says, preacher, would you pray? Thought about this last night, and I should have done it. I was at a family thing. I should have told them something good or asked them to tell something good that God had done in their life this year. But, you know, everybody's, you know, and I just fell right on in there, you know, and just prayed, and we went on and eat. It'd been a good time to talk about Jesus. What do y'all think? When you get ready for your Christmas meal this year, why don't you tell somebody something great that God's done in your life this year? Mary does. She exalts the Lord. She says, and His mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear Him. You know what this means? This is a true story. It really happened. This is foundational to our faith, is the virgin birth. It's true. It really happened. But Mary says, from generation to generation, every generation, God is going to choose ordinary people for an extraordinary task, and He's going to call you when you're unprepared. But once He calls you, He'll prepare you. That's the story. And that's our Christmas promise that we have. So this morning, I encourage you to live under God's rule, to live depending on the power of the Holy Spirit, and accept God's plan by faith. And ask the Lord, what does He want you to do? How can I be in this story? Guess what? We get over to Revelation. God is completing this story, but it's not finished. Here's what Mary says, Lord, I believe You. Now, I'm going to praise You while You work out the details of this story. She doesn't yet know how it's going to end. We don't yet know how it's going to end, except for Christ is coming back for us one day. But between now and then, God's going to ask us to do some impossible things. Faith says, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but You and I can handle it together. Let us pray. If you're here this morning and you've been going through a lot of things in your life and you're just not sure what to do or what's next, I just challenge you to say, Lord, I know You're writing me into Your story. And Lord, I'm asking You now if You will just come and give me peace. Come, Lord, and help me by faith. Say, Lord, I don't know exactly what You're doing and how You're going to accomplish this, but I'm asking You, Lord, take control of my life. Lead me, Lord. Help me right now, Holy Spirit, make room in my heart for God to write His story. Guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, before Bobby Ray and them come, I'm going to ask Brother James and Miss Diana to come down. Well, I can say Diana. I'd say Diana one time and Diana next. We're glad to have them here this morning, and they've come by profession of faith. They was members at Grace. They've come by profession of faith to Hunt Springs Baptist Church to join our church. And everybody that's in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Amen. If you didn't, I was going to pray for you. Amen. No, we're so thankful to have them here. Pastor James has been teaching on first and third Wednesday night, a Bible study we have. Miss Diane's with him. They was singing up here Wednesday night. Just blessed to have them here. And I know several people has asked, anytime you want to join the church, I'm available to talk to. At the end of service, you just come down, raise your hand, or you can talk to me during the week. Give me a call, anything like that, any questions you have. Same goes for salvation. Any questions you have about salvation, I'm always available. Call me for that. Y'all give them a big hand. Love you too, brother. Okay.
Tell a little story. I went to a church not too far from here, actually, and I candidated to be their pastor and preached several times, and then they were going to vote. And so when they did the vote, we had to go back to a classroom so we wouldn't, you know, be in there. And then the head deacon came back to me, and I said, "Well, brother, how did it go?" Which way?
Amen.
You know, I wouldn't know which way. So it was good, and so we were voted in, and so we're thankful to be here with you, and thankful to support our pastor. Preaching like we just heard is hard to find in our country today, and so we're proud to have him as our pastor, and we're proud to be here to help in any way that we possibly can. And thank you so much.
Amen. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank you. Yep, Pastor James and Miss Diane, it's just a blessing. And that's part of God writing us into his story. You know, Elizabeth and Zacharias thought they was too old to do anything for the Lord. Imagine Mary thought she was too young. But from birth to life's last breath, God's using us in his story. And that's the gift that we have. I'm going to ask him to come sing.
I heard about a baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing a song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, with every breath I'm singing her. Expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. And there was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all sing with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and golden myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah. Drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
One more time.
I've had a song stuck in my head for about 2 months now, and I just keep thinking about it over and over. And Christmas is a time when God writes us into his story, because you're going to come across all kinds of folks that just don't have any hope in Christmas. And that song, part of that song goes, Jesus says, didn't I leave all of heaven and come to die for your sins? Didn't I search and search for you until I found you? And I'll do it all again. The greatest Christmas gift you give anybody is tell them that there's hope. His name is Jesus. And sharing the gospel with them is this simple. Simply say, Jesus came and lived the life you should have. He died the death you deserve. He was buried. 3 days later, God raised him, so you know that you can have forgiveness and a new life with hope. That is the Christmas message. That's greater than any meal, any candle, or any present you'll give them, is to give them new life in Jesus Christ. Kind Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you was willing to leave heaven, take on flesh, live amongst sinners, die at the hands of wicked people, trust God the Father's plan and be buried. And Lord, we praise God for your resurrection, for the promise of life we have and the indwelling Holy Spirit that we experience day by day. Lord, we thank you for calling ordinary people to do extraordinary tasks for you. Lord, help us this Christmas to continually make room in our heart for you to write your story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for being here, and y'all give Bobby Ray and Scott another big hand. And Merry Christmas.